Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Thank you for spending some time with us. It's been described as a provocative book about a forgotten chapter in World War II history, Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves, Rectifying the Myriad of Perspectives. It tells the true stories and removes all the myths and propagandas. The women known as comfort women, women who provided sexual services for Japanese soldiers at war frontiers. The author is Koichi Mara, who says over the years many false stories have been published, and he wants to set the record straight to tell the truth of the women known as comfort women. Koichi Mara, Ph.D., is a president of the Global Alliance for Historical Truth, which is based in Santa Monica, California. He has a Ph.D. from Harvard. He taught economics, international business, and public administration at Harvard, as well as other universities, including the University of Southern California. He has worked at the World Bank. In recent decades, he's organized a study group on the history of Japan during the last century and is concerned with political issues related to interpretations of historical records. His recent books include Whose Back Was Stabbed? FDR's Secret War on Japan. Koichi Mara, author of Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves, Rectifying the Myriad of Perspectives, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Mara, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us, sir.
Oh, thank you very much for the invitation.
It is our pleasure to have you on and to set the record straight and to tell the story. First of all, let's establish who comfort women are. Talk about that, the background, and then we'll talk about these misconceptions that you're using to set the record straight.
Okay, yes. I think the comfort women are publicized erroneously. The particularly, say, Korean groups are advertising the comfort women were sex slaves, but in fact, they were not. At the time in Japan and many other countries in Asia and the other part of the world, prostitution was a legal activity, not illegal. And those comfort women are prostitutes, recruited also from Japan, Korea, and other places. They worked as a partner for Japanese military people during the World War II. So they had their lives. First, they were not forcibly recruited. They were volunteers. And some of them have been in that profession before, then continue to do the same profession in the battlefield. Some people were young, but there was a restriction. The Japanese government made a restriction for the prostitutes. They should be over 18 years old. So those were volunteers recruited by prospective high income. And many of them accomplished that dream. They earned lots more than the soldiers. In fact, their income was 50 times or more than 100 times the soldiers' income. Then they were able to build houses, not just one, but two or three houses if they serve 2 years. So the record is very straight. They were just ordinary prostitutes, worked for Japanese soldiers in overseas battlefield areas. In fact, the American government, the U.S. government document described the situation of comfort women precisely as I said so far.
You know, it's interesting the number, and you've got some thoughts on that. Just in looking, I've seen anywhere from 20,000 to well over 400,000. How many comfort women were there exactly, would you think?
An exact number is not known, but many, let's see, serious scholars estimate the number would be somewhere between 5,000 to 20,000 in that range, not 200,000. For example, this can be confirmed by looking at the population pyramid of 1950 in Korea. If 200,000 Koreans were drafted, and the Koreans claim many of them have been massacred, then population pyramid would have apparent dip at the age of, like, say, 30 years age in 1950, around that time. But there is no dip in the population pyramid. So a number was much, much less than 200,000.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program is the author of the book Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves, Rectifying the Myriad of Perspectives. The author is Dr. Koichi Mara. His website, and I'll spell this for you, is koichimara.com, KOICHIMERA.com. Great information there, as well as information on the book. The book also available at Amazon. Both of those websites you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about some of the myths out there, because this really changes a story, an important story in history. What are some of the common myths out there, especially that our interpretation here in the United States, that you really are attempting to set straight by the writing of the book? What are some of the common myths?
Oh, well, let's see. I think the common myth was that Japanese writer called Seiji Yoshida wrote a book in 1983. In that book, he said, this is his own experience, he took a group of people, soldiers, Japanese soldiers, to Jeju Island, south of Korean Peninsula, then hunted girls, 205 girls, in the Jeju Island. Now, this book was publicized very much in Japan as well as in Korea. Then this became as a fact. However, later on, many scholars investigated his story and found out this was a fiction, not his own experience. But nonetheless, Asahi newspaper, it's a very famous newspaper in Japan, he wrote this article, say, story of Yoshida, as if this was a actual, say, historical incident. And this influenced further the United Nations report of 1996 by Kuaraswamy. And United Nations report, Kuaraswamy's report, stated that comfort women were sex slaves. So this was the origin of the erroneous theory about comfort women.
You know, it's interesting the perceptions we have, the misperceptions we have in the United States. In Japan, do people understand the full story, the history of comfort women, or are there myths in Japan as well?
Yes, right. In fact, it is quite strange that the Japanese writer started that erroneous story.
It's a fascinating book, and it's a different look at perspective of history, Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves, Rectifying the Myriad of Perspectives. The author, Dr. Koichi Mara, is our guest on the program. The book is so well researched. You've got documents there. Talk about the research for doing this, because when you say something, when you say something is wrong, this is what happened. You've got documentation there. How much research, how long did it take to put this book together to actually tell the accurate story?
Okay. I think the one important, basis of my theory is that this U.S. military report, this was a U.S. intelligence report written in 1944 in Burma, currently Myanmar. the 20 Korean Comfort women were captured. Then U.S. military interrogated them, what they were doing and what they say, how Japanese soldier treated them and so forth. Then this report is, this is in archives, U.S. Archives Administration. And that document is one important source of information. Also, there are several other U.S. military documents which support this document I'm saying, you know, written in 1944. Also, there is a Japanese historian called Hata, Ikuhiko Hata. He investigated the history of Comfort women in depth academically. He wrote a book in 1990 about, say, this is a 500-page book about Comfort women. He gathered various sources, then estimated, you know, say, a number of Comfort women. He gives something like, say, 20,000 figure for the number of Comfort women. But in terms of the content of the Comfort women themselves, his theory coincides very well with the U.S. intelligence report of 1944. So those are the basic information about Comfort women. There are lots of other information available, but we have to be careful about statements which is referred to by various organizations as from the ex-Comfort women, particularly those from South Korea. Those women have been influenced very much by organizer within Korea, which is sympathetic to North Korea. And they try to, say, propagate the theory of sex slave theory of Comfort women. So they were, interesting fact is that the ex-Comfort women's confession or statements changed over time. In the beginning, usually those Comfort women says, I went to recruiter, then I received certain, say, dress and shoes, and that I was very much delighted, then joined that group, then went to China and so forth. Later on, their statement changed to such as this. When I was sleeping in the home, Japanese military officer came and I was forced to go with him as sex slaves. So this is a big transformation. Apparently, something is doing, you know, say some organization is changing their stories. So recent confession by ex-Comfort women are along this line of sex slave type. In the earlier type, they were more, say, truthful to their own experience.
It's interesting because, yeah, the perception being they were unwilling, they were coerced. After all of the research and interviews, you found that that just wasn't true. From your standpoint, and you've devoted a lot of your time to writing this book, to studying this, what was your initial interest in trying to set the record straight? A little bit of background on that. This has been very important to you.
Okay. Well, that is a very interesting question. Let's see. When I started a study group of Japanese history in California in the beginning of 21st century, well, to be more precise, 2006. Then we have examined various history books, documents, then examined various things. Now, one of the things is that Japanese people have been more or less educated, re-educated after the war of 1945. Then Japanese people are used to, say, express apologies to various other people. Now, for example, say there was a Tokyo trial. It's called International Military Tribunal for the Far East, which started in 1947. But the result of the Tokyo trial was that Japan was labeled as aggressor nation. Then Japan committed various war crimes. Wow. That was what the Tokyo trial did. However, by examining carefully what has happened before the war and during the war and after the war, this is more or less a big fiction. A Japanese nation did not do aggressive war. Rather, Japan was forced to fight. So that was a result of the research we have undertaken in the early, well, say, 21st century. So when we were in California, then they studied the history. Suddenly, city of Glendale in California started to install statue of Comfort Women. Then I thought, oh, this is really a disgrace to country Japan. Now, what we should be doing, the Comfort Women were not sex slaves, they were not tortured, they were not massacred, but if American people start knowing, at least informed by other people, that Japanese people did torture Comfort Women and so forth, this is a real disgrace to Japanese people. Then we have to do something about it. That's why I started fighting against Glendale's Comfort Women statue. And writing a book is part of this effort.
And it really advances what you are trying to get across, which is setting the record straight. The book is Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves, Rectifying the Myriad of Perspectives by our guest on the program, Dr. Koichi Mara. And again, his website is his name, KOICHIMERA.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves. The book, of course, is available at Amazon. Very different perspective, a much needed different perspective on history. I'm thinking your book, Whose Back Was Stabbed? FDR Secret War in Japan, would be an excellent read as well. I'm hoping to have a chance to read that and get your perspective again on some of the myths, maybe, and misperceptions that we have here in the United States. Dr. Mara, it's been a pleasure to have you with us on the program. Thank you so much for setting the record straight, and thank you for sharing that with us on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It has been our pleasure, and once again, the book is Comfort Women, Not Sex Slaves, Rectifying the Myriad of Perspectives, second edition. Dr. Koichi Mara, the author and our guest. Book's available on Amazon at Dr. Mara's website, and you can link on to all of those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.